BBC presents Destination Fire. Deadly Spark, a story by Philip Levine, with Robert Beatty as Q Barnaby, fire investigator.
Mr. Newton?
Not now, Bishop. I'm busy, can't you see?
Yeah, our Johnstons are on the blower, screaming for their lorry. They need it urgently.
Tell them I'll have to wait. I'm working on it now. This door's like a concertina. They won't get it before Friday.
Okay, I'll tell them.
Oh, Bishop, what do you want?
Oh, the welding job, then. Mr. Cole wants me to do a respray.
Is he still out?
Yeah, down at the supermarket. One of their vans, doing an estimate.
George? Hey, George, hold it a second.
Hello, Frank. You done that estimate?
Yeah, it cost them 30 quid at least. Look, you've got a second.
I haven't, but what is it?
Mind if we go into the office?
What's the trouble, Frank?
Oh, no trouble. On the contrary, when I was down at the supermarket, some bloke called Turnbull came over, a director, got chatting, and then asked if we were interested in selling.
Selling? Selling what?
This place.
Oh,
not the business or the actual premises. The freehold site.
For another of those supermarkets, eh?
Well, there'll be a new estate going up at the back. And you should hear what he offered.
Well, how much?
12,000. Well, we paid just over 2.
A few years back, though.
Oh, all the same, that's a fair profit.
And where do we get new premises?
Oh, look, George, if I'm to be honest, I'd like to split the proceeds and pull out.
You mean dissolve the partnership?
Well, look, I've no complaints. I had a good living from this place. I don't fancy staying at the bench for the rest of my life. Now, with a bit of capital, I'd like to have a shot at something else.
Oh, I'm sorry, Frank, I'm not selling.
Look, I think they'd maybe go up to 15, maybe higher.
I am not interested.
Oh, now, be reasonable. Half the place is mine.
Did I say it wasn't? You'd better take a look at our agreement. You can't dispose of the shop or the site without my consent.
Yes, I've been through this agreement very thoroughly, Mr. Cole. As far as I can see, there's little you can do.
You're quite sure?
Well, I'm an accountant, not a solicitor.
But there must be something I can do.
It was drawn up for your protection as well as your partner's. It's a very sound document. In fact, I see that in the event of either your or Mr. Newton's death, the business reverts to the other partner.
Yes, it saves any trouble with relatives. Look, isn't there any way I can get round this agreement? Is it worth taking counsel's opinion?
Well, that's a question for a solicitor. But frankly, I doubt if there's anything you can do legally.
Well, yes, you were perfectly right, George. I mean, you could hardly retire on 6,000 or 7,000. Not in today's prices.
That's what I told him, Betty.
To be honest, I've never really liked him. Something shifty about him.
Oh, Frank's all right. Good craftsman. But hates the bench. Envies the white-collar workers. Bishop's the same. Bloke I took on a few months back. Have you met him?
Yes, nice chap.
Yeah, another one. Forever at the sink. And combing his hair.
What's wrong with that?
Well, you'd think a bit of dirt was something unholy.
You're working late tonight?
I'm afraid so. Must put in a couple of hours at least.
You pop back for a meal, though?
Yes, around 6.
I'll fix you something hot.
Thanks, love. I'm sorry you've been on your own so much lately, but we're up to our eyes.
Don't worry.
Well, I must be off.
Right. I expect you shortly after 6, so try not to be late.
You off already, Frank?
Yes, it's gone 6.
I thought you might stay on for a bit.
A 10-hour day's enough for me. Just get my jacket and then I'm off.
Leave yourself.
Oh, George, just in passing. Turnbull's upped his offer to 20,000.
Look, how many more times? If they offered 30, the answer's still no.
But why not?
Because I don't want to sell. Can't you get that through your thick head?
Look, I'm not going to let this offer slip by.
Aren't you? So what'll you do?
Well, I'll think of something. There's more than one way to skin a cat, you know.
I'm going now, Mr. Newton.
I'm coming too, Bishop. I'm nipping home for an hour.
No, are you taking the bus or the tube, Mr. Cole?
Tube. I'm fed up with queuing.
No, it's a bus for me. Otherwise, I've got a hell of a walk to the other end. Good night, Mr. Newton.
Good night, Bishop. So long, Frank. I'll lock up.
glad you're here.
What happened, Bishop?
No one seems to know. Big explosion just after 7. Police rang Mrs. Newton. She tried to get you, then she rang me.
Where's Mr. Newton?
Didn't they tell you?
Well, tell me what, Bishop?
They got him out. But he's dead, Mr. Carl. Killed by the blast.
Hi, Q.
And what brings you here, Robbie?
An explosion.
Well, you seem to have survived the blast.
Well, if I did, somebody else didn't. It's a small repair shop at Kenley Hill near Streatham.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's have the gist.
They specialized in bodywork, respraying, that sort of thing. There were two partners, George Newton, who was killed, and another chap, Frank Cole.
Any employees?
Just one, a man called Bishop. Newton was working late when it happened. Quite a fire, too. He was dead when the brigade got him out. The docks seen him. It was the explosion, no doubt about that.
Well, how do you come into this?
Phone call from Newton's accountant. Felt it his duty to volunteer a statement. And I think you'll agree he was right.
Carry on.
There'd been an offer for the site, some supermarket. 20,000, but Newton wouldn't sell. Cole tried everything to break the agreement. And now he gets the lot.
No next of kin?
Newton left a wife, but the business goes to the surviving partner. Nice for Mr. Cole, hmm?
Yes, very.
Well, before we make a move, we'd like your views on the cause. Do you think you could find your way to Kenley Hill?
Well, with Val's sense of direction, how can I miss? Oh, this is a familiar sight, Val.
The windows look as though they've been pushed out.
Mm, typical of a low-pressure explosion. Notice the smell?
Like garlic.
Acetylene. Oh. Used for welding. Yes, there's a cylinder over there.
What do you think happened?
Well, the usual, I should think. A faulty valve, the gas leaks out, then one spark, and up she goes. Of course, there have been cases where a lighted cigarette's come in from the outside. But not in this case.
How do you know?
Look, the window frames are still latched, and the skylight's closed.
So, you think it was...
Hold it. Someone's come in. Yes? Can I help you?
Oh, hello, I'm Eric Bishop. I work here. For the insurance, are you?
No, in view of Mr. Newton's death, I've been retained by the Home Office. My name's Barnaby. This is Miss Crane, my secretary.
Oh, pleased to meet you. Think we'll be able to start up again?
Oh, I don't see why not. Main structure's intact. This room's the worst hit.
Yeah, this is the sheet metal and welding shop. Well, what's the office like?
Well, doesn't seem too bad.
Nah, it shouldn't take long to get straight. Mr. Cole wants to keep the place going for the moment, but I think he's going to sell out.
Mr. Newton was here on his own last night.
Yeah, he had some urgent job.
And when did you leave?
Well, we all left about 6. Mr. Newton popped home for a bite to eat. Lives about 5 minutes from here.
Mm-hmm. Who locked up?
Well, they both had keys, but Mr. Newton was last out. I think he did.
Mr. Cole left with you, did he?
Yes, only...
Only what?
Well, he went down the tube and I went to catch me a bus. I queued for about 5 minutes. I got a seat on the top deck. As we came by the bottom of the road, I saw Mr. Cole just letting himself in again.
You're sure it was Mr. Cole?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that jacket of his spot him a mile off.
And this was about 6:10?
Well, of course, I'm not infallible. But there's a copper on the beat round that time. Maybe he saw him.
How'd they get on, Mr. Cole and Mr. Newton?
Oh, fine. Until they got this offer from the supermarket. I felt sorry for Mr. Cole. He's a nice bloke, but I'm afraid old Newton was a bit, well, cantankerous, you know, all work. Shouldn't think his missus ever saw him.
Will Mr. Cole be down here later?
Yeah, he said he would, but I'm not sure when. Well, how soon can we start clearing up?
Oh, not just yet. I want nothing touched. I'll let you know.
Oh, I suppose there's not much point hanging around.
Oh, do you know Mrs. Newton's address?
It's Preston Road. Not sure of the number, but they're on the phone. So you'll find the address in the book, I should think.
Hugh, I found the address and rang Mrs. Newton.
How'd she sound?
Not too bright, but she'll see us. You ready?
Well, not for a second. Something rather odd here, Val.
Huh?
I'm just checking the valve of this acetylene cylinder.
Oh, faulty, is it?
No, there's no leak. The valve's tightly closed, and you'll notice that the gauge is registering half full. But the cylinder's empty.
So?
Well, as the glass in the gauge is broken, this needle must have jammed at the time of the explosion.
Well, it seems logical.
Then why isn't the cylinder half full?
Well, you tell me.
Because the gas burnt away during the fire.
But you just said the valve was closed.
It is. That's my point. Someone closed it after the fire.
Why do that?
Because it may have been opened to fill this room with acetylene.
But it wouldn't explode on its own, now, would it?
No, but it doesn't take much doing. All you need is one tiny, deadly spark.
Now, I used to go down to the firm once or twice a month, Mr. Barnaby, just to help out in the office. I once worked for an engineering firm. That's where I met my husband.
I see. How long was he in partnership with Mr. Cole, Mrs. Newton?
Oh, it must be 10 years, I think. They pooled their capital, bought these premises, and did quite well from the moment they started. We certainly couldn't grumble.
I gather the entire business now goes to Mr. Cole.
Yes. It was my husband's idea, not Mr. Cole's.
Mm. Don't you get anything?
Well, there's a small policy, and of course I'll have my widow's pension. Oh, I'll get by. I'll have to find a smaller place, though.
I suppose you knew about this friction between Mr. Cole and your husband.
Yes, but I thought it'd blow over.
Your husband came back at what time last night?
Well, about 6:10. Had his supper and left about 7:10. Just a minute. You know, I thought that was him when he came by a short while ago.
Who, Mrs. Newton?
Well, that man in the checked jacket. It's Mr. Cole. He wandered by just before you arrived, and now he's gone past again. I wonder what he wants.
He knows where you live, does he?
Yes, he's been here dozens of times. Do you think I should call him?
No, it's too late for that. He's turned the corner. But I'd like to talk to him.
I think he's heading for the repair shop.
Then, if you'll forgive me, I'll dash, Mr. Newton. I've got the car. With a bit of luck, I should catch him.
Has gone into the repair shop, Q.
Yes, I was hoping he might. You won't mind if I tackle him alone, will you, Val?
Well, if you don't object to my stretching my legs.
I do, but don't go too far away. I may need you. Oh, Mr. Cole.
Oh, you gave me a start. Who are you?
The name's Barnaby. I'm investigating the explosion.
Oh. Bishop mentioned he'd seen you.
Didn't he also mention I wanted nothing touched?
Oh, sorry, I was just trying to salvage these job sheets. I haven't a clue who's paid their bills or who hasn't. Newton used to look after the clerical side, so...
What was Mr. Newton working on last night, do you know?
Oh, some panel-beating job.
Was he using any welding equipment?
Oh, wouldn't have thought so. Bishop did most of the welding.
Hmm. I gather you all left around 6?
Well, just after. I've never been one for overtime. A 10-hour stint's more than enough for me.
Then what brought you back here last night? I asked you why you came back here. You did, didn't you, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Then why the hesitation?
Oh, you just surprised me, that's all. I hadn't mentioned it to anyone, so I wondered how you knew.
Mr. Bishop saw you from the bus.
Oh, I see. Well, I did come back. I hadn't mentioned it, because no one's asked.
Well, I'm asking now.
But the fact is, when I got to the tube, I found I hadn't got my wallet. I remembered I'd had it with me. So I hurried back, and sure enough, it was on the floor over there by the coat stand. Must have dropped out somehow.
So you collected the wallet and left?
Yes.
You've no clue as to how the explosion might have occurred?
Well, it didn't happen till Newton got back, so how could I? Look, it was an accident. It must have been. Look, you don't think I had anything to do with it, do you?
Have I suggested that?
No, but you've heard about the offer, haven't you?
Yes.
And I know how people's minds work. Well, it may interest you to know that if I do sell, Mrs. Newton will get half.
You're very generous.
I thought about it all night. I was going round to see her. But then I thought perhaps I'd better leave it for a bit.
Why?
Well, firstly, nothing settled with the supermarket. Secondly, I know this will sound funny, but I felt if I went round there right away, she'd think that, well, it was conscience money. So I was to blame in some way. As I said, that's how people's minds work.
How your mind works, Mr. Cole?
Well, you know what they say. No smoke without fire.
Yes, I'm familiar with the phrase, and there's also another, if a trifle more technical. It's that most explosions require a spark.
A spark?
Yes, pretty dangerous when acetylene's floating about.
But look, we took every precaution. We had to before we could get insurance. Had special tools and drills, and our hammers were non-sparking with copper heads.
And what tools was Mr. Newton using last night?
We'll soon tell. That's his bench over there. Now come up and take a look. There. Oh, you can see. He was working on this steel sheet. And using this hammer.
May I have it, please?
Sure. Is something wrong?
No, just checking if it was a copperhead.
Oh, perfectly safe. Won't cause a spark, I can promise you.
How many of these have you got?
Of that size, a 5-pounder? Well, just the one.
One other thing. When the fire was put out, did you come in here?
Last night, you mean?
Hmm.
Yes, I did. The fire officer wanted to inspect the fuse board.
And the bishop?
Yes, he was with us. And then Mrs. Newton came down to identify the body.
How did she react?
Upset, of course. Well, no tears. She's not the type. I suppose I should have taken her home. But I wanted to get an idea of the damage. So Bishop found a taxi. And he took her back. Oh, hello, Val.
Hello, Q. I didn't go far. Looks like rain.
Did you see a phone box on your travels?
No.
Well, find one. I want you to call Robbie. It's important.
Oh, it would be. Here comes the rain.
Did I hear you asking for a phone, Mr. Barnaby?
Yes, is there one near here, Mr. Corn?
Our first lift outside the pub.
Oh, thanks.
Here, would you like to borrow this? Plastic neck. Always carry one. Fits neatly into my jacket pocket.
Thank you. That's very kind.
That's okay. Just leave it in the office when you're through with it.
Over here, Robbie, by Newton's bench. Well, what have you found?
Take a look at this hammer.
Yes, I'm looking.
If I scrape some of this soot off, you'll see it's copper-headed.
Yeah?
You can hit anything with it, and it won't cause a spark. Watch. See? Quite safe.
So what's so special about it?
Well, it's not the hammer, but where it was found.
Well, where was it found?
Lying on this metal sheet here.
Ah, yes. Yes, I can see the mark in the soot. Same shape as the hammer.
No, not quite. That's the point. This handle's about half an inch longer. Look. See what I mean? This wasn't lying here during the fire. It was placed here after the fire.
Ah, I get you. There was a slightly smaller hammer lying here.
Yes. Now, I'm just guessing. But supposing when Newton went back for his evening meal, someone came in here and exchanged his copper hammer for a steel one. Then opens the valve of the acetylene cylinder and fills the shop with inflammable vapor.
I get it. Newton returns, hits this metal sheet with a steel hammer, causes a spark, and woof.
As you say, woof. Then after the fire, the valve's turned off and the hammers are swapped again.
Well, we know Cole came back here.
But before we tackle him, I'd like a word with your constable. If Cole was carrying a hammer, there's a chance he may have seen him.
Constable Leach, could we have a word with you?
Certainly, Inspector. Oh, Mr. Barnaby.
Hello, Constable. Constable, this repair shop's on your beat, isn't it?
Yes.
What time do you pass here during the evening?
Oh, around 6:15.
Did you see Mr. Cole by any chance?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did.
Did he see you?
No, I don't think so. You see, it had started to pour, and I stood in that doorway opposite there to slip on my cape.
You didn't notice if he was carrying anything, a hammer?
Oh, I don't know. He may have done. But he was wearing his plastic mac. He might have had it underneath.
How long was he in there?
Oh, a good 4 or 5 minutes.
As long as that?
Oh, yes, at least.
A long time just to collect a wallet, you.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, too.
Why'd you bring me back here, Inspector?
Take a look at that door, Mr. Cole. Pretty hefty padlock, I think you'll agree.
Yes.
And how many keys are there?
Well, just the two. I had one and Mr. Newton the other.
And you can't get a copy without applying to the makers?
Yes, I think you're right.
I know I'm right. I've been on to them. And there's no other way into this place. Windows were latched. Anyway, they're all barred. Not even a small child could squeeze through.
Well, what's all this leading up to?
Mr. Newton's key was in his pocket when the fireman brought him out.
So if someone came back in here, it could only be you.
But I've admitted that.
But why did you come back?
I told you, for my wallet.
Which you say you left behind?
No, I didn't leave it behind. It dropped out of my pocket.
From this inside pocket of your jacket?
Yes.
Never in a million years. It's a tight fit. It'd never drop out unless you shook it out.
Look, I don't know how it happened, but it did.
And you found it lying where?
I told you, in the office.
So you arrived back, unlocked this door, walked through the repair shop, into the office, picked up the wallet and walked out again?
Yes, more or less.
So that wouldn't take you more than a half a minute, Mr. Cole. The constable on the beat says you were inside for at least 4 or 5 minutes.
Oh. Well, I may have been a bit longer.
Why?
Well, you see, as I arrived, it was pouring down with rain. As Newton was coming back to work, he left the skylight open. Well, I thought I'd better close it or the whole place would have been flooded. It works on one of them handles, you know. You have to wind it up. Well, he put it in a drawer somewhere, and it took me a few minutes to find it.
So you admit you closed the skylight?
Yes, as I said, it was pouring.
Is that the only reason?
But what other reason could I have?
To be sure this place was full of acetylene.
Acetylene?
Someone opened the valve.
Well, not me. Look, I've told you what
I... Yes, we know what you told us, Mr. Cole, but I think we'd better have a full statement in writing. So I'm afraid I shall have to ask you to accompany me to headquarters.
Well, I'll tell him the moment he gets in, Robbie. Goodbye. Oh, Q. That was Robbie.
Oh, yeah? What do you want?
They've had to release Cole. Insufficient evidence. They'd need that steel hammer before they could charge him.
Even so, it'd be difficult to prove.
Do you think he's guilty?
Well, I'm sure Newton didn't swap those hammers himself. And Cole was the only one with a key.
Oh, which reminds me, I've got his Mac.
His what?
His plastic Macintosh. He loaned it to me, remember? Oh, well, I suppose I'd better fold it up. I prefer the transparent kind to this dark sort. It was nice of him all the same, though I shouldn't have walked away with it.
Hmm?
The Macintosh. Oh, don't look at me like that. I didn't do it deliberately. I just forgot.
Well, am I glad you did. Now, would you get me Robbie and ask him where I can reach that constable?
Leech.
Yes, there's something I want to confirm. Then when I've done that, you and I are going back to the repair shop.
Well, why have we come back here, Q?
In the hopes of finding that steel hammer.
Whoever swapped them wouldn't leave it here.
I agree, but it's also pretty risky to be seen with it. It's fairly big, not easy to hide.
Then what would you do with it?
Well, that's just what I was asking myself. By golly, of course I know. The windows had been blown out, so with a careful aim, I'd hurl it straight through those iron bars onto the wasteland at the back.
You think it's there?
Well, we won't find out by standing here. Come on, Belle. And you'd better slip on your galoshes.
How far could one throw it, Q?
It'll be difficult through the bars. Not more than 15 or 20 feet. If it's anywhere, it'll be in this area. Keep searching.
Oh, Q?
Yeah?
Q, I think I found it.
Where?
There. Is that it?
Yes, this is it, all right. And it's got a steel head, see?
Well, that's clever. What about fingerprints?
No, the rain had put paid to those.
Then how will you know who swapped the hammers?
Well, I've an idea, but we'll have to wait.
Well, here, in this damp grass?
No, I doubt if anyone would come back for this.
Well, then how?
First by calling Robbie, and then by waiting patiently till the repair shop opens up again.
Inspector Hackett. Hello.
Forgive me for bothering you, Mrs. Newton. These things of your husband's were at the yard. I thought I'd deliver them personally.
Well, that's very kind of you. Won't you come in?
No, thanks. I've had a call to report back. By the way, this hammer, Constable Leach came across it in the wasteland behind the repair shop. Does it belong to the firm, do you know?
No, I'm afraid I don't. Mr. Bishop's working down there now. He might know.
I think it is one of theirs. It's copper-headed.
Oh, is it?
They use them for panel beating, you know.
Well, look, Mr. Cole's calling round later on. I could ask him.
Oh, could you? That's very good of you. It did save me a journey.
Mr. Bishop. Mr. Bishop.
Oh, hello, Mr. Barnaby.
I hope that hammer you're using has a copper head.
Oh, you bet. Use a steel head when you've got acetylene floating about and you blow yourself sky high.
Uh-huh. You mean like Mr. Newton did?
Hey, did he? Oh, I thought I read it was cause unknown.
Oh, you never believe anything you read. We know the cause and the culprit.
Oh? Well, you mean Mr. Cole?
No, not Cole. You, Mr. Bishop. You opened the valve and swapped those hammers.
Me? Where was I supposed to have done all this?
When Newton went back home.
Oh, but
now,
I was
save
on
the denials, I know you were here. You told me the skylight and all the windows were shut. You checked them, in fact, didn't you?
So?
But Cole didn't shut the skylight till he returned for his wallet.
Oh, so he says. He could be lying, you know. I mean, if I hadn't seen him, you'd never have known that
he was... But I don't believe that you did see him.
What?
You mentioned his bright sports jacket. But when he returned, he was wearing a dark plastic Mac. Oh, no. You knew he'd been back when you saw that he'd collected his wallet.
But how could I get in? I haven't got a key.
Not one of your own. You use Newton's.
Newton's?
Yes, it's my belief that you followed Newton home. His wife handed you his key, which you returned in a matter of 20 minutes.
So we're partners in crime, are we?
I think you're more than partners.
Oh, look, are you through?
Not quite. I also think you removed Cole's wallet in an effort to incriminate him. And as no one can benefit from a crime, this place would have gone to Mrs. Newton.
Oh, it's very neat, but all supposition. How can you prove Mrs. Newton handed me that key?
I think the proof's on its way right now.
How?
When you got rid of that steel hammer, you threw it over the back, didn't you? Well, just supposing you had accidentally thrown away the wrong one. You'd be holding a steel one in your hand right now, wouldn't you?
But I'm not. This one's copper. Take a look.
Yes. And so was the one the inspector handed to Mrs. Newton about 5 minutes ago.
What?
Now, if she's innocent, she won't be any the wiser, will she? But if she's not, she'll think you've got the steel hammer, and if she cares as much as I think she does, she won't waste much time getting here, will she? Now, what did I tell you?
Why, you...
Stay where you are, Bishop.
Now, let's get her really worried, Robbie. No, this isn't the wrong one, Mrs. Newton. But thanks for delivering the right answer.
That was Robert Beatty as Q Barnaby and Gudrun Ure as Val in Deadly Spark, written by Philip Levine and produced for the BBC by Martin C. Webster.